Last week, we asked what becomes possible when patterns loosen. And this week, I want to go into this process in a little deeper way, which is, how do you know that something's actually changed? Here's a concrete version of the question. 6 months ago, you were going to stop over-explaining yourself. You still send a three-paragraph response when two sentences would have been sufficient. Maybe with more awareness, maybe with a clearer understanding of where it comes from, and you're more conscious of what you're doing. But the paragraph count hasn't changed. Something important hasn't moved yet. 6 months ago, you said you were going to change something, and you've done the therapy, the reading, the reflection, the genuine effort to understand and shift what's been running your life. And today, if someone asked you a direct question, is it working? What would your answer be? Because it's not about the effort. You know the answer to that. It's not about the understanding. You understand and know how much insight you have into what's going on. The question is whether there's something underneath that's deeper that you've reached and whether that has moved. And this isn't about reassurance, and it isn't about how healing isn't linear and everyone moves at their own pace, which, by the way, is true. Neither of those responses really is useful in terms of the assessment. This episode is about discussing what the honest answer for that is. And I want to give you a clinical way of assessing your progress, not as a list of signs, but as a way of looking at your life and seeing something that's observable in the day to day. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman. And today on the podcast, we're going to look deeper into how do we know our pattern is shifting? And before we talk about some of the markers that are about this, let's establish a couple of things. And the first is a clarification. I just used 6 months in the intro, not because there's a particular thing that should happen in a particular amount of time. It's really just a number in terms of giving yourself enough distance and time to look at what is measurable. And it's a useful interval, but you can use anything. You could use three weeks or 6 weeks. You could use a year. It's not a deadline. There's no timeline in healing generally. And I mean, there's certain things physically that we see. You break a bone, it's going to set in 6 weeks. You know, we do have those benchmarks, right? But in terms of chronic illness and psychological patterns, there isn't really a benchmark that I know of that really says, oh yeah, this heals in this amount of time. And patterns that took decades to organize. And by the way, I'm talking about physiologic patterns as well here. They don't necessarily complete in 6 months for most people. But 6 months gives us a distance to look back and see, yeah, is this getting better or am I backsliding? The second thing is how you feel is one data stream, but it's not the only one, and it's not necessarily the most informative one, particularly at the beginning of the stage. And subjective experience is real, and I think it matters, but it can fluctuate. For example, in terms of psychological awareness, having a bad night's sleep or having several bad nights' sleep, that can create more negative thoughts and a more of a negative perspective on the situation. So, behavior, physiology, relationships give you additional data streams that are different and often more observable. They let you examine what is happening in your life rather than relying just on how you feel in a particular day. No single marker tells you whether the work is working. And by the way, I would include this in terms of what we consider scientific testing, right? I had a patient years ago with MS who was doing great. I mean, she had gone from walker to doing an Ironman. She did the Kona Ironman. And she felt great, but her scans were showing that she was getting worse. So what do you do with that, right? That's the reverse situation. You know, when we start seeing things moving in the same direction, decisions, recovery, body signals, maybe test results, relationships, that's the case where genuine change is happening. And I think that's a stronger case than just a single indicator by itself. Now, the third thing is the assessment only works if you know what your target is and what you're trying to change specifically. If your answer is vague, for example, you just want to feel better or be less anxious, you know, the 6 month mark, in fact, any mark really isn't particularly useful, right? Naming it specifically, you can then use before the markers, and then you have something to measure against, right? The organizing question I want to explore in this episode is, what in my life is different? What am I doing differently? The deeper principle here is simple. If the work is changing the pattern, eventually the change becomes visible externally, right? And that's what every marker in this episode is looking for. So the five things that are useful to look for, and these are, by the way, clinical observations, not diagnostic tests. And each one is individually suggestive. Several moving in the same direction is meaningful. So the one is, and before I go into the five markers, this is more oriented towards the mental emotional pieces of things as opposed to a physiological thing. And in my audiobook, The Restoration Protocol, I have different markers, but they're about bringing people to a baseline. So I just want to be clear about that. Let's get into the markers in terms of the general piece that you can use in your life more broadly. And so the one is decision production, I'll call it, decreases. In other words, some decisions used to require really significant internal processing before you could come to a decision. Now, it may not be all of your decisions, and it isn't necessarily the big decisions. Sometimes it's the smaller decisions, like, should I text this person? The marker isn't speed. It's not about that. It's about what's going on inside before you decide what it is to do. And usually it's around a particular pattern, right? And, you know, I mentioned the texting. If you're an anxiously attached person, you may vacillate about how much or when to text somebody. And this becomes sort of a marker you can follow in terms of your anxious attachment and how much healing has happened in it, right? If you, you know, go back and forth over, oh, should I text them? Should I not text them? Should I text them? Should I not text them? At some point in your healing process, you just text them or you don't text them, but there's no indecision around it. It just is what it is. That is a sign that you can show that there's change, you know, and the preference gets stated without any kind of internal calculation of whether saying it is safe or saying it will create problems. Track not how confident you feel about the decisions, because sometimes you don't feel confident about it, but you require less preparation. And preparation load is generally more observable. The second one is recovery time. And generally that shortens. After a difficult interaction, a stressful day, or something that was activated in the old pattern, do you return to baseline faster? That gives you an observable window into how your system is responding to stress. And sometimes this shifts as a result of physiologic changes, not around the pattern necessarily, right? So if your cortisol levels have been really, really high and, you know, you've been working on that and that's come down, maybe this shifts, right? Oftentimes, the way to think about this is if you have a difficult conversation and you end up having to process it for 2 or 3 days, that's usually, and then usually if, you know, as you work through it, you resolve it in an hour or a couple of hours, that's a sign that something has shifted. Third marker is the pattern visible before it becomes a behavior, not after? So you might still see the pattern. The genuine progress shows up as the pattern losing some of its totality. So you're not scanning for threats all the time, for example, or you're not preemptively shrinking before, you know, you need to act. Or in the case of the anxious person texting, they notice the anxiety come up, but then they go and send the text anyway, because they know that's part of the pattern. Awareness is evidence that something has become more visible. And it becomes evidence of functional movement when the visibility changes what happens next. So noticing the pattern is important, but actually changing the behavior along with it is also important. And the evidence test you can use is, do you notice the pattern sooner than you used to? Or does the earlier noticing change the outcome? Not whether it activates, right? It's not about activation, because oftentimes things will activate. It's about whether you catch it in earlier in the sequence and if you act on it. And I think that gap is very important, because I think it shows when things are shifting. Most people arrive in this work somewhere in the middle. The question is whether 6 months of the sustained work has moved you forward in the sequence. The movement from the pattern runs me, or even, you know, I'm being run, but I don't even know what it is, to I notice the pattern before it runs me, is one of the most useful early signals that the work has reached something. And one more test worth naming. The test isn't whether the old pattern ever returns, because under stress it may. The test is, what happens when it does? Does it last long? Do I see it? Does it overtake me? Do I recover faster? What repair happens? And does it happen more quickly? These are really important questions. And by the way, just as a quick aside, I've been reading John Gottman recently, and this is one of those pieces that I think is important in long-term relationships, because one of the things Gottman says is it's not the biggest indicator of a relationship lasting is not that you don't have fights. In fact, he would argue that couples who don't fight at all are actually in more danger of splitting up over time or having a betrayal over time. The issue is how do you come back together? And that requires awareness, right? How do you repair that properly? Because you need to notice what's going on inside of you to be able to get there. I'm going to take a quick break. And on the other half of the show, I'm going to finish talking about the other two patterns and also what if nothing's changed? So stay tuned. Hello and welcome back to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman. And today we're looking at how do we know patterns have shifted and that things are changing in our system, in our lives. And I've been talking about three things to identify. The first is the decision production decreasing. The second is recovery time is shorter. The third is whatever the pattern was becomes visible before you act upon it. Number four is changes appear that wasn't necessarily targeted. This is a really interesting one because you may be working on anxiety, for example, and you notice that you're setting better limits, either at work or at home. And it had nothing to do with what you were treating, right? You know, it's something that shifts that it might be related to what you're working on, but it's a different target. And here's an example. I'm going to go back to the person with anxious attachment. They all of a sudden are saying no to their boss about working on weekends. That's really interesting, right? But it's an important thing to see because it is related in terms of the anxious attachment. It's about going inward, right? And oftentimes, there's a strategy transfer versus capacity transfer. Strategy transfer is when you remember to use the technique. You recalled what you learned and you apply it deliberately, right? Capacity transfer is when you respond differently without remembering to use the technique. The response changed before you thought about changing it. And when that happens, that's when there's a bigger shift that is happening in your system. And usually that is going to happen across multiple areas in your life. So the fifth aspect is the change is surviving contact with real life. In other words, if you were to choose one marker from this entire episode, it would be transfer. And this is the marker that most directly tests whether what happens in the healing environment has made it into your ordinary life. So, in other words, you might practice something in the therapy room, but the kitchen is where you're going to see it, right? This is like in couples therapy. If you can make an I statement in with the therapist, when you start doing that at home without the therapist, that's when you know something has really shifted, right? And progress is not only change where you practice it, it's change in where things transfer. I would say the bigger issue here has to do with insight, right? Because oftentimes we have lots of insights about why we do things, but the insight isn't useful unless there's a skill that transfers in our life. You know, you can know, oh, I get distracted easily, but until you do something like move your phone out of the room so you can finish your work, that's the behavior that's needed to help the insight solidify. Progress is not only change when you, where you practice the change, progress is change that transfers, and it transfers into other places and other areas. So let's talk about some of the supporting evidence. And alongside the five markers, there's two other areas I'd like to mention. And these are kind of like signals that strengthen the case and maybe move alongside what I was just talking about. A single body level change is weak evidence on its own, but when sleep, baseline tension, and relational cost all shift alongside the functional markers, that convergence then is meaningful. So we have body level signals that I think are worth tracking. Your sleep quality, your baseline tension, and your recovery after emotional activation. Those are all worth tracking. The person who used to dread bedtime notices they've stopped calculating how tired they're going to be tomorrow. Or that background alertness, that chronic low-level arousal that most people don't notice until it changes, it's quieted. Or maybe you recover faster after a difficult day. A single body level change isn't particularly strong necessarily in terms of the evidence. Sleep can improve for many reasons, but if sleep quality improving alongside changes in decision production, recovery time, pattern visibility, that is worth paying attention to. And then there's also the relational signals, which I've mentioned a little bit earlier. You know, when you start healing in these patterns, your relationships start costing less. Sometimes the relationship changes, but it's worth watching this independently, because when you shift in a major way like that, your interactions with others are going to shift as well. And compliments don't necessarily, you know, as an example, maybe you don't deflect the compliment as quickly. Or maybe when someone's affectionate with you, you don't feel suspicious immediately. You can receive something without immediately creating an obligation to reciprocate. These are really important experiential markers that connect directly to last week's show in terms of relational aspects. When the nervous system's working model of relationship is updating, sometimes this is where it appears first. So what do you do if nothing changes? If the markers are absent, the question then becomes slightly different. And there's several questions I'd ask before drawing any conclusions. The first question is the target clear? Is there something specific that you're trying to shift that you can, you know, measure, right? Or you can identify? Because if it's vague, you know, feel better, be less anxious, heal, that assessment can't work. Also, if it's unrealistic, you know, it's like the old joke of the doctor, you know, doctor, will I be able to play violin after my surgery? And he says, oh, of course. And he says, that's funny. I couldn't play violin before the surgery. You know, that is an unrealistic expectation as well. And I think being specific and being realistic in terms of what the shift is, you may not be measuring appropriately, right? You may have changed significantly, but if you don't know what you're measuring it against, how are you going to know, right? The second question is there any kind of movement, even small movement? Sometimes we look for something that's really dramatic. And because we're looking at an interval that's kind of artificial, we're just saying 6 months, it might be subtle. You know, it may not be that there's a shift in your decisions all the time, right? But there might be, you know, that one or two decisions that are different that you're not pining over. You're just saying, oh, I'm going to do this, whatever this is. That's often evidence of movement. It's a small movement, but it's still a movement. Is the work reaching the right level? That's the next question. Sometimes if the insight is genuinely thorough and your markers, which are measurable, haven't shifted, maybe we're not working at the right level where the pattern's being maintained. And we covered this last week in more detail. And if you haven't listened to that episode, I would listen to that, because that has some questions about what to ask in terms of that. You know, it's a quick example of this physiologically. I've worked with many people who are having sleep issues, and the work was around, you know, like melatonin and, you know, sedative type things to help sleep that didn't work. And oftentimes what we found is neurofeedback helped because they had a traumatic brain injury. There had been a concussion, which is where the sleep was coming from. You know, giving vitamins or something or taking melatonin isn't going to have the same impact as healing the head injury. And those are two different levels, right? Is there something else limiting the work? And, you know, this could be physiological, right? If you're having nutritional deficiencies and that's affecting your ability to manage your stress, well, that's going to have an impact on your relationship. And so oftentimes the ability to engage with someone is impaired in that situation. So these deserve assessment on their own rather than being mistaken for a lack of effort. And addressing them isn't a detour. For some people, that's where the work is. Now, one thing worth naming, sometimes the answer is simply that the intervention isn't helping enough for this particular person, target, or problem. And I've seen this many times, right? You know, not everyone resonates with every clinician, right? You know, I've had that for myself on both ends of that. You need to be able to match, right? And there, you know, assessment, it may not be about the assessment or the diagnosis. It may be the resonance between the two people. So these four questions don't exhaust all the possibilities. Insufficient progress isn't a verdict about your effort. I really want to make that clear. It's really a question of what needs to shift to allow for change. And I think that, you know, there's certain questions that we can ask. And I think these are really important. And the first is, what are you specifically trying to change when you started? In the last 6 months, have any decision arrived with less internal production? Has recovery from difficult interaction shorten? Has the pattern become visible in a way that it hasn't before? Has anything changed that you weren't specifically working toward? And if so, has it transferred? Is it affecting other areas of your lives? And if the honest answer to most of these is no, which is most likely true? Unclear target, insufficient time, wrong level, or is there something else limiting the work? Now, you are not looking for proof that you are healed. You're looking for the convergence. Are the independent parts of yourself beginning to tell the same story? Because oftentimes a single marker doesn't answer that question. But several moving in the same direction suggest something is shifting. And if the answer is something is shifting, ask what has changed. Because if something has changed, you want to name it. You want to honor that. And don't dismiss it because you don't feel completely different. And if nothing has changed, then investigate it. This is the work that I am building towards. And next week, I'll talk to you about a little bit more about the workshop I'm putting together, Rewrite the Signal, because it's designed to do this and work towards helping people identify the patterns and actually make the shifts inside. And if you haven't taken the Healing Archetype quiz, check it out. It's on my website, askdrgill.com. On the homepage, there's a link for it. And thank you so much for joining me, and I will see you next time.